If you would now pick up the little red book, The Three Forms of Unity, and if you'd open that up to page 22, we are on Lord's Day 6. I just want to do a quick review of Lord's Day 5. Question 12 was, since then by the righteous judgment of God we deserve temporal and eternal punishment, how may we escape this punishment and be again received into favor? And then the answer was, God wills that his justice be satisfied. Therefore, we must make full satisfaction to that justice, either by ourselves or by another. God's justice, you don't hear that talked about very much. I think I can pretty much go through my whole week without hearing anybody bring that up, right? But when you think of the symbol of Christianity, the cross, right? What do you think of when you think of the cross, right? You think of an execution, somebody dying. You see God's justice being inflicted upon his son to save his people, people like me and you. You could even think, when you think of God's justice, you can think of the Lord's Supper. Right? What are you going to see today? You're going to see the bread broken. You're going to see the wine poured. Why? Because they're symbols. Right? They're symbols that point us to the reality of what sin deserves and what our Savior has done for us. So if God's justice demands satisfaction, the catechism was leading us, and it said 13, can we make this satisfaction? And then the answer was, certainly not. We daily increase our guilt. We cannot make satisfaction to God's justice. Question 14, it was saying, how about another creature? Could another creature make satisfaction for us? An angel? A bull? A lamb? No, right? They cannot make satisfaction for us. And then last Lord's Day, the last question said, what kind of mediator and redeemer then must we seek? And the answer is one who is a true and righteous man and yet more powerful than all creatures. That is one who is also true God. So now we'll go through Lord's Day 6. I'll read the question if you would read the answer. 16, why must he be a true and righteous man? And then 17, why must he also be true God? Question 18, but who now is that mediator who in one person is true God and also a true and righteous man? And then I just wanted to read a little bit from the Athanasian Creed, as it rightly explains that our Savior being both God and man. For the right faith is that we believe and confess that our Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is God and man. God of the substance of the Father, begotten before the worlds, and man of the substance of his mother, born in the world. Perfect God and perfect man, of a reasonable soul and human flesh subsisting, equal to the Father as touching his Godhead, and inferior to the Father as touching his manhood, who although he is God and man, yet he is not two but one Christ, one not by conversion of the Godhead into the flesh, but by the taking of the manhood into God. one altogether, not by confusion of substance, but by unity of person. For as the reasonable soul and flesh is one man, so God and man is one Christ. So let us look at 19. Excellent question. From where do we know this? If you'd recite the answer in unison.